With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's 4 o'clock on Friday, so it's time for Nate Taylor to join the drive.
I knew in training camp last year that they had chosen Orlando Brown over Tyrann Mathieu.
You can check out all his Chiefs news and notes at his very athletic online publication.
Oh, okay. I see what you did there.
Here's C-Dot and Nate.
We're very happy to be joined in studio by Nate Taylor. He's brought to you by Comfort Systems Heating and Cooling. Family owned, family operated. MyComfortSystems.com. Nate, this is the first time that we have moved you all season. I think you will understand that we moved you for a commercial-free hour with Mitch Holthus and Danon Hughes in studio.
Oh, okay.
So you know what I mean? That was the only time Mitch Holthus could do. And if I got to pick you or Mitch Holthus, I'm sorry, Nate. I'm picking Mitch Holthus. I got to do it.
I am not the voice of the Chiefs. So
yeah, I got to do it.
I mean, I understand, you know. 4 o'clock on 2:30. Basically. No, man, happy to be here. Just came back from the last practice that I'm going to see this season because they're practicing tomorrow on Saturday, and then obviously they'll practice in Arizona, but it'll just be one reporter. It'll be a pool reporter from the Pro Football Writers Association. So, that was the last practice I saw today.
So let's start with this question, and we'll talk a little bit of game. We'll talk some big picture. We'll talk injuries. We'll talk a lot here over the course of the next hour or so. Next week when you sit down and you start typing,
yes,
and you start writing about the game, because I read your story about Beach and just sort of how the roster got to this point. But next week, you're going to write a story about the game.
Yes.
What's your biggest thought? What's your biggest impression as we are headed to see the two best teams in the National Football League play each other?
Yeah, it's I feel like John Madden. It is the best offensive line in football against the second best defensive line in terms of generating pressure. And then, of course, it's the best defensive line generating pressure versus the second best offensive line. Because of what the Eagles do up front compared to the Chiefs, I find that to be the most fascinating football part of the game. Obviously, some people have already talked about probably Hassan Riddick versus Orlando Brown. You know, Jason Kelce potentially going up against Chris Jones in one-on-one situations. It's gorgeous from a football standpoint, because if the Eagles cannot run the ball and if they get behind their script, then that really does allow, you know, Frank Clark, Chris Jones, Mike Dana to really present pressure that maybe the Philadelphia Eagles really haven't seen all season. Much of the NFC Championship game was dictated by the fact that Philadelphia could run the football. They never got really into these lot of third and 10 situations where Jalen Hurts had to obviously account for what Nick Bosa was going to do. If the Chiefs can protect Patrick Mahomes, if Patrick Mahomes' mobility is better from the AFC Championship game, then there are yards to be had. There are schemes to really helped the offense move the ball down the field. The Eagles led the league in the regular season with 70 sacks. 70. The Chiefs were number two with 55. It's a gigantic gap because, as Eric Bieniemy said today, they have secondary rotational pass rushers who are really, really good. So they never get tired. They're one of the more fresher defensive lines throughout the course of a 60-minute game. But if Mahomes has time to, you know, escape, scramble, improvise, if you get through the first level of the defense, I think there are plays to be made against the second and the third level of the defense. So it's a fascinating matchup. And, I feel like John Madden, but everything pretty much starts up front on both sides of the ball, because I think it's one versus two in both sides when you really look at how good these linemen are for both the Chiefs and obviously the Eagles.
I think if you want to simplify this game down to one player, I think that player is Frank Clark.
Mm.
On the Monday after the Super Bowl, we're talking about Frank Clark played well.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the Kansas City Chiefs won that game. And we're talking about how Frank Clark didn't show up, didn't register a tackle for loss, didn't get a sack in the game. Hmm. That means that offensive line for Philadelphia was working.
Yeah, right.
And you just don't beat the way that Philadelphia has played this season if their offensive line is playing incredibly well.
Mm-hmm.
I think it really comes down to Frank Clark. It's odd for an X-factor to be a starting defensive player the way that he is.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he has built this reputation up of being playoff Frank and stepping up in big moments. I don't know if he's gone up against a test like this. And not even San Francisco's offensive line a couple of years ago in the Super Bowl. I would say that Philly's offensive line is better than that team's.
Yeah.
Can he have a significant impact on this game? I think this game really hinges on how well Frank Clark plays.
And it might not even determine if he gets a sack or not, Carrington. Part of it might be, can you just ensure that Jalen Hurts doesn't become a true dual threat guy, right? If you can contain him in the RPO action, obviously they're going to run some zone reads, which obviously the key for part of that scheme is, what does a defensive end do? Does he want to get upfield? Does he want to obviously play contain and help everything sort of flow back to the middle of the field? And, yeah, obviously if they do get in those third and eights, those third and tens, can he generate pressure to get to Jalen Hurts, who is obviously – mobile in his own right. So, yeah, it's something that I haven't totally thought about beyond just, hey, their entire defensive line has to play well. This is obviously might be a game where they may test Frank Clark pretty early and then say, oh, if he's disciplined in some of our run schemes, then let's go to the other side and let's pick on the rookie, George Karlaftis, because he just hasn't seen it at this level with this amount of talent. But the Chiefs have been quietly very good at stopping the run. So if that holds up, then it does set Frank Clark up for having another memorable postseason game where he has a real imprint on the game. And that, of course, will help, you know, set up one-on-ones for Chris Jones. Because if I was the Eagles, I would do what a lot of teams have done, is just say, hey, we got to find as many ways possible to have the center help out Chris Jones in terms of these double teams, and just hope that you could at least limit him. But that's been more complicated now because teams are dedicating so much to him, and now Frank Clark has obviously had, you know, two really good games in the postseason.
Are you a believer in Philadelphia's defense? I asked that question because, you know, a lot of, you know, stats are schedule-driven.
Mm-hmm.
Who'd you play? Who was healthy when you played them? When did you play them in the season? Has Philadelphia gone up against a quarterback that you think is great this year? I mean, Trevor Lawrence really emerged, but they played Jacksonville in week four of the NFL season. I mean, is the best quarterback that they've played this year, was it Dak Prescott?
Yeah.
If that's the best quarterback you've played,
then we're going up some levels on Sunday.
The degree of difficulty, that's like playing on like pro. I mean, yes. I ain't gonna disrespect Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
This is beyond all Madden. This is like playing the creator of the game.
Yeah. And look,
they haven't seen an offense anywhere close to what Kansas City is. Not coaching, not quarterback wise.
Yes.
They haven't seen anything close to Kansas City. So I asked you that question, because I think we saw a lot of times where Buffalo would come into Kansas City with the top ranked defense. Well, that's because you were playing Zach Wilson and Mac Jones. That's why you were able to be the number one defense in the league. Not because you really are the number one defense in the league.
I want to remind people they put 44 on the 49ers with Nick Bosa on the field. It was the one game in the regular season, much to your point, Carrington, that I could actually, okay, I can hold on to this. This is something that I can actually. I've seen it with my own eyes. I know what the offense can do against top-level defenses because they did it against one of the better units in the league. I'm gonna just run through it real quick. They played Kenny Pickett after the bye week. Then they got Houston. They lost to Taylor Heinicke in a game that was very weird, and they had a lot of turnovers. So it was self-inflicted wounds for their first loss. I don't even know who played for Indianapolis when they got to that game.
I don't think it matters.
Aaron Rodgers put 33 points. Jordan Love was in that game too. So it was sort of a back and forth shootout. Green Bay couldn't stop anybody. Then they played Tennessee. Again, don't know who played in that game. Daniel Jones, Justin Fields with no one around him, and they still scored 20 points, mostly because Justin Fields was so elusive in the run game. Then they got 40 put on them by Dak Prescott. Again, I have no idea who played for the Saints, but that was the Gardner Minshew game. They didn't really need it for seeding purposes. And then they obviously played the junior varsity that is the New York Giants before the Giants obviously made it to the postseason. What I just told you is they have really not been tested on defense really at all since October. It's crazy. Like, Kyler Murray might be the most talented quarterback they've played all season. I mean, it's either him or Dak Prescott is what is to answer your question, Carrington. So, yeah, they also haven't played a tight end like Travis Kelce either. So it's one thing to sort of rep these things. It's to say, hey, well, we just play, you know, George Kittle. George Kittle's good. He is good. He's not Travis Kelce. He's not Travis Kelce with a quarterback who is capable of accentuating all his skills, particularly when plays break down or obviously when you get to that secondary route. Like the fourth and one we saw against, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals, where I Jesse Bates, you did such a good job. You also gave up a touchdown. Like, I don't know what you want to do. I know Philly has really good cornerbacks on Darius Slay and Bradbury. But they really, it is such a hard team to evaluate for everything you've just asked and hopefully the information I've given, which is, I mean, Justin Fields had a good day. They still won, but he had a good day. And, you know, they haven't been really behind in the postseason so far. So one of the big keys, I think, for the game is how does Philly respond if they're down 10-0 in the first quarter when, you know, you may not be able to run the ball on first and second down, or obviously you don't have the dual threat ability where the defense knows, oh, you're passing the ball. Like, you have to pass the ball to stay in the game. So if I was the Chiefs, I would work like hard to maybe get a lead early and sort of see if you can sort of dictate the tempo from there forth. I know Andy, if they win the coin toss, is going to say, well, you know, I always like to have the ball to start the second half to make the game adjustments. But maybe this is one of the rare times where you take the coin toss and say, let's just get on them early and let's see how they respond, because they have not faced a single moment of adversity in the playoffs, whereas the Chiefs have faced all the adversity in their two playoff games.
Yeah, and I think that's a substantial difference. I mean, even towards the end of the season. So, you know, you mentioned the postseason. You mentioned the fact that the Eagles just – I mean, they played the Giants in the first game of the postseason. They played San Francisco. I mean, they have outscored their opponents 69-14 in the postseason. So they have just smoked two teams. I mean, the final month of the season, I don't know how much you can really take from that, because they didn't have Jalen Hurts for two of the last four games that they've had. So the end of the season is very odd for Philadelphia, where you feel like with Kansas City, you know, they were kind of building towards something in the postseason. You're right. They overcome that adversity. They finally slay the dragon, which was Cincinnati, and they finally beat that team. Like, I think this is as even of a game that you and I maybe ever talked about. I think this is completely down the middle. It comes down to execution, who plays well, who doesn't turn the ball over. I think Kansas City's strengths line up really well against the weaknesses of Philadelphia. I think the strength of the Eagles match up really well against Kansas City. I think both teams are going to be able to score in this game. I don't think that either defense is capable of holding either team to 17 points or 20 points. I think this is a 31-27 kind of game.
Here's something I'm going to say that might sound a bit odd. Cincinnati has better receivers. It's just a fact. I know Philadelphia has Devontae, and they have AJ. But Carrington, what if the cornerbacks play really well? What if they tackle as well as they did against the Bengals? Then I think you get to a point where this game might lean heavily towards the Chiefs, because I tend to agree with you. As long as Mahomes is not pressured on every drop back like we saw in Super Bowl 55, I believe the Chiefs will score in the 20s to, you know, low 30s, right? I'm going to give them that 27-34 range. And obviously if they don't turn the ball over. If Jalen Hurts cannot throw the ball downfield, because these cornerbacks are tight in coverage. And, you know, if he has to start leaning on, you know, Goddard, the tight end more, which will be matched up a lot against Justin Reed, who, by the way, has also played well over the course of the last 5 to 6 weeks. The secondary might be an advantage that people don't particularly realize, but we all just saw them play Ja'Marr Chase. And Ja'Marr Chase did not beat them. He had one amazing catch on a 50-50 ball with two guys in coverage, like in proper coverage. He just jumped over them and caught the pass on 4th and 6. T. Higgins is very good. I would say he's a better 50-50 ball getter than A.J. Brown, which, again, I know might sound odd to people. The Cincinnati Bengals have better receivers. They have a better 1-2 duo than Philadelphia. So if the cornerbacks can play as well as they did in the AFC Championship game on Sunday, if you have Legarius Sneed at your disposal, which I think is the case, because I think by this time next week he'll probably be back at practice through the concussion protocol. If you have these rookies and obviously Legarius Sneed to sort of mix and alter the cover schemes along the game, then maybe Jalen Hurts doesn't have a ton of guys to throw to. I'm more willing to trust Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, you know, Matt Nagy in their scheme to get someone like Juju Smith-Schuster open or Kadarius Toney open, because I know what the quarterback can do with his accuracy, with his scrambling ability, and his improvisation. Again, Jalen Hurts has been very good this season, but I wonder, against a secondary that has only gotten better as the season has gone on, what do those passes look like when it's not Joe Burrow throwing the ball and it's Jalen Hurts trying to get, you know, one-on-one coverage against A.J. Brown? I'm not sure A.J. Brown's going to win every time. And that's wild to say, but I just saw it in the AFC Championship game.
Coming up at the top of the hour, I want to get your updates on all the injuries and where we're headed into Super Bowl 57. I want to ask you this really quickly. I know we're up against the break here, Rob. I think Chris Jones is the player on the Chiefs most helped by them winning a championship.
Oh, in terms of legacy?
If Chris Jones has 2 rings,
mm-hmm.
He just got his first team All-Pro. If you're the best player on a championship defense, especially one that's been on a run the way that the Chiefs have been,
yeah,
you get a lot of consideration for the Hall of Fame. Andy's in. Mahomes is in. Kelce is in. I think the player most helped by them getting their second ring is Chris Jones.
I can't disagree with you. That is an unsaleable point. Especially if Chris has a game like he had last Sunday, right? What if he whips Jason Kelce? What if he whips Landon Dickerson, who's really good? What if he goes out on the edge and beats Lane Johnson? That's Hall of Fame type stuff. So, yes, I agree with you. If to benefit most of the core people who've been involved since Mahomes became the starter in 2018, yeah, Chris has the most to gain. Because like you said, all those guys, I'm pretty sure, are first ballot Hall of Famers in their own right. But who will you remember most from the Chiefs' defense? Yeah, it might be Chris Jones. It would either be Chris Jones or Frank Clark. And I thought in 19 and 20 it was going to be Tyrann Mathieu, which tells you how quickly things change in this league. But, yeah, I agree. If Chris Jones has a sack and a half or 2 sacks and they win, he's going to be in the Ring of Honor, and he's probably going to be in Canton as well.
But I was going to say, regarding Tyrann Mathieu, he certainly has had the better individual career between him and Chris Jones. But Chris Jones being a part of both of the championships, if they win.
Mm-hmm. Being one of the better players on all 5 years of them being in the title game in the conference.
That just carries a significant weight. Coming up at the top of the hour, I want to get your thoughts on all the injuries. Just update us on where guys are from a health perspective. Nate Taylor is joining us in studio right now. He's brought to you by Comfort Systems Heating and Cooling. Family-owned, family-operated, mycomfortsystems.com. We'll get Nate's updates on everything injury-wise heading into Super Bowl 57. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
This is The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by the D. Pasquale Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this. If you missed any of the show, catch up on the Odyssey app or at 610sports.com.
We are very happy to be joined in studio by Nate Taylor. He is brought to you by Comfort Systems Heating and Cooling, family-owned, family-operated, mycomfortsystems.com. Coming up in exactly 1 hour, Mitch Holtis and Danon Hughes will join us in studio for the 4 o'clock hour. The 4 o'clock hour will be commercial-free. Very excited to be joined by the radio team of the Kansas City Chiefs, getting you ready for Super Bowl 57 between the Chiefs and the Eagles. Let's play the injury update yesterday from Andy Reid out at Chiefs camp.
Juju has some knee swelling. He won't practice. Legarius Sneed's in the concussion protocol. He won't practice. And then Kadarius Toney, he won't practice with the ankle sprain, but he's close and doing well. Actually did the walkthrough today. So
really quickly, I want to play what he said about Mecole Hardman, and then, Nate, I'll bring you in here. I just want to update people on what Andy Reid said about Mecole Hardman yesterday. He doesn't expect Mecole to play for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so I think it'll be tough for him. I mean, I doubt that he'll make the Super Bowl. But listen, he was not going to be denied the other day. And it's a tribute to the kid. He pushed himself like no other, and he's a tough nut now, man. He's all smiles with you, but when it comes down to playing, he is a tough, tough kid, you know.
So that was Andy Reid yesterday out at Chiefs facility. Nate, this is how I hear the injury reports, and tell me if you're hearing different things. I believe Juju's going to play. I think Kadarius Toney is going to play. Now, I don't think that Sneed would play if the game was this week, but the fact that it's a bye week, I think he should be fine for next week. And we just heard what he said about Mecole Hardman. I mean, the fact that they're willing to say that they don't think he's going to play on the Thursday before the game, before mm-hmm. the next week, mm-hmm. tells us that Mecole Hardman is pretty seriously injured. That's how I hear the injury report. Are you hearing something different?
Yeah. I haven't seen Mecole since the game started. He really wasn't a part of the, which is, you know, unfortunate for him, given how much he had to sort of, you know, gut it out for his teammates against the Bengals. But no, everything you said, I agree with. I think the one guy in question really is Juju. Just how effective will Juju Smith-Schuster be with that left knee injury that sort of popped up at times earlier this season? But you know, the Chiefs hope that he'll be able to practice Thursday and Friday next week. Same with Legarius Sneed. You know, most players this season, just for context, most players who, when they enter the concussion protocol, do not play the next week. So having the bye does help him. And so the Chiefs are hoping that he'll get back to football activities either Wednesday or Thursday. And then if so, he'll have at least two practices to sort of go through the game plan, which is really being installed this week. And I enjoyed the way Eric Bieniemy sort of presented it, that it's a reset and it's just a week for them to sort of communicate with each other and maybe add a wrinkle or a twink here or there to the game plan. Kadarius Toney looks to be the most healthy out of everybody so far. I know that sounds a bit surprising to some folks given his hamstring injuries of the past, but I think if the Chiefs played this week, he would play on Sunday. The team is just obviously being cautious with where he is right now. With the ankle and the hamstring. I think it's both his left ankle and his left hamstring, if my memory is correct. So I think everybody will play other than Mecole Hardman, but I'm not sure how effective Juju Smith-Schuster is going to be just because, you know, the knee's been an issue that they've kind of had to manage all year.
Do you think Mecole has played his last game with the Chiefs?
That was a discussion we were having yesterday, me and some other reporters. It's hard to say because – where will he be physically and, you know, when free agency begins in March? I think Andy is trying to do right by the player to say that, man, you gave it everything you had last week, but I'm not sure it would be within your best interest to put you out there again. Obviously, you're a pending free agent. I think the odds are slightly in favor of him probably playing his last game with the Chiefs. But I do think if other teams are concerned about his health and how he's going to hold up on a multi-year deal, then there's a possibility that he could return to the team on a one-year deal.
I just asked the question because I look at the Chiefs and the kind of receivers that they have. So Sky Moore is under contract next year. You're going to want to create a pathway to more targets, yes, more snaps on the field. Mm-hmm. Kadarius Toney is clearly a player that they like a lot. I don't know if there's really room for Mecole Hardman next year. Like, if you want to give Sky Moore the ability to grow, he doesn't get 50, 55 targets with Mecole Hardman on the team next year. There's not a path for him doing that.
If Mecole stays healthy the whole year.
Yeah, yes. You know what I mean? Like, there's not a path for him really to do that. So the fact that the Chiefs, we know they like Sky Moore. We know they like Kadarius Toney. They just used draft picks on them in 2022 to acquire the player.
Mm-hmm.
I think you've got the players that do kind of McColl's role here that maybe the contract is going to be way better than we thought it could be, but I don't know if you can bring Mecole back on a one-year, $6 million deal to block sort of the pathway to the field for Sky Moore.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll be $6 million.
You think it'd be less than that?
There's a potential. I mean, wow. It's
I actually thought I was being generous because I look at what DJ Chark got last year. Chark got the one-year 10 fully guaranteed.
But even – I know from a skill set who I would want more from. I know from a production standpoint, it gets a little, you know, that's a different tale, obviously, with the recent things that have happened. I think Mecole Hardman went from being one of the more intriguing free agents on this team for, obviously, the upcoming offseason to be one of the more mercurial, the one that probably has the most mystery to it now. Again, I would have a much better idea when I go to the combine and I talk to more agents and I get a feel for what other teams are thinking and what they feel like their needs are. Obviously it just seems like every year there's a surplus of receivers, which I think also, you know, dictates the market to some degree. Obviously guys like Tyreek Hill and Davante Adams, like they're not going to be available. Obviously I don't know who's trading another AJ Brown on draft night. But it might be 1 year, $4 million. It might be 1 year, $5 million with some incentives involved. Everybody tends to forget that Juju Smith-Schuster came back from a shoulder injury to play with the Steelers on Super Bowl card weekend against the Chiefs, but he had missed the majority of last season, and he only got a one-year deal for, I believe, what, that was full? The part of it that was guaranteed was what, about $5 to $6 million? And I think he could reach a maximum of, like, $8 to $9 million. I'd have to look this up really quick. But I'm just saying, like, it might not – he was on path, and I want to remind fans of this, when he had the two touchdowns against, was it two or three? I can't remember now. Two or three against the 49ers. He was on a path to having a career year. And now it looks, it's really unfortunate, but it might be 1 year, $4 million. And that is just, you know, when I look at how the year was going for him, it's ultimately very sad, but it's a violent sport and injuries have to be taken into account. And if Juju Smith-Schuster, who was, what, 25, now 26, you know, basically signed a one-year contract with the Chiefs for about basically $5 million. Now, he earned quite a bit in incentives, but, you know, the team may just say, hey, you know, Juju played well under this. Obviously, what is his situation with the team? Depending on how some of this works, it might be 1 year, $4-5 million with incentives involved, where that might be his best bet, because at least he knows the system, he knows who he's working with, he's been with the team, they know the team has had success before. And I'm not sure another team's going to give him a 2 or 3 year deal that's so much, you know, that's way better than what the Chiefs could offer on a potential 1 year deal.
Can you trust going into next season? So let's say that these three guys come back, Juju, Mecole, and Kadarius Toney. We know about Kadarius Toney's injury history.
Mm-hmm.
Juju is starting to put together an injury history, and Mecole coming off a significant injury.
Yeah.
Can you trust all three of those guys heading into next season? Because at this point with Kadarius Toney, I don't know how you can count on his body holding up for 18 weeks next year. He might play 11 games next year, but there is no chance that you have him available for every game. I don't think you can count on Juju to be available for the entirety of the season. I think you could put Mecole there too. I think next year, at least out of those three, you're going to need one guy with just a track record of, hey, this is a guy who is there every single Sunday. Maybe he's not the most talented receiver in the league, but mm-hmm. we know he's a guy that we can depend on, a guy that's going to eat up snaps, a guy that's going to be a guy that's on the field for us. I don't know if you can bring back all three of them next year, given their injury history.
What they really need, Carrington, to your point, and this is great, Because I'm trying to look up his stats right now. They need Amon-Ra St. Brown. They need one of those guys who plays for the Detroit Lions, if you didn't know. Very talented receiver. He played 16 games this season, had 1,161 yards, 6 touchdowns. Chiefs would take that in a heartbeat. About next year, I would have a lovely conversation with Kadarius Toney and say, hey, man, we may have to change the play style a little bit because you out here trying to juke everybody in the stands. And you don't have to do that in September. You don't even have to do that in October. The Chiefs are pretty optimistic that, like, if they get him for a full year. And, again, this is what my thought was when the trade all went down back in late October, was just like, oh, this trade's about 2023, getting them in the system, getting them in the building. Obviously, the training staff would be aware of how they could sort of manage him over the course of next season. But I also think Kadarius Toney tries so many of these, like, amazing juke moves that it's just like, hey, man, that's a – like, that field on Sunday, that we playing in negative – like – we playing in freezing weather, and the field's not just going to hold up. Like, so that's why he tweaked your ankle. I don't think he did anything wrong. He's just making a really hard play, and he's so dynamic. But his play style might lend himself to more of those soft tissue, lower body injuries than a normal receiver. I think it would be fine for the Chiefs to have, like, some talk to Kadarius about, like, not every time he touched the ball needs to be a highlight. It's amazing to watch that every time he touched the ball this season, it kind of was its own mini highlight. But you would think you'd have most trust in Kadarius Toney just because he has the most talent to have a really, you know, I won't say surprising, but a really impressive full season. For Mecole Hardman, this is now becoming a repeatable pattern. Same with Juju Smith-Schuster. What we do know about Juju is, unfortunately, it was the concussion this year, and the knee has popped up. But he is really reliable when he's been on the field. It has been, you know, interesting to me that the shoulder has not really popped up this season. But at least you know he works in zone. He's obviously really tough. So those are traits that you can sort of take and say, hey, if he wants to come back on a 2-year deal, like, I'm not going to be – I would understand it from both sides, even though he does have a track record of playing, you know, pretty tough. Also, his body is just different than the other two. Like, he's just a physically bigger receiver who could take on punishment perhaps better than the other two. Yeah, but Kadarius Toney is the one that matters the most towards next season.
Coming up on the other side, Nate, you think we wouldn't play this game because it's not at your normal time? We need 4 callers, 913-586-7610. For the last time this season, it is time for Nate Taylor Price is Right. If you want a chance to win a large pizza from the other place, well, we need you to call that number, 913-586-7610. Nate Taylor's appearances are brought to you by Comfort Systems Heating and Cooling. Family owned, family operated, mycomfortsystems.com. We'll keep talking Super Bowl after we give you a pizza. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by the DePasquale Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Oh, it's time to play. For the final time this year, Nate Taylor Price is Right. I give you a random stat, and we play Price is Right. Today's stat is going to be related to Tom Brady. He retired this week, and he is certainly no stranger to the Super Bowl. He has the most Super Bowl records as of any player with 14. The question to you guys is going to be, how many completions do you think Tom Brady has in the Super Bowl? How many completions? He has played in 10 of them. How many completions do you think Tom Brady has in the Super Bowl? You guys know the rule. Closest to the number without going over wins the prize. Neil, in his 10 games, how many completions do you think Tom Brady has had in the Super Bowl?
I'll go with 287.
287. Wow. Let me put you on hold here. All right, Ryan, how many completions do you think Tom Brady has in his 10 Super Bowl appearances?
301.
301. Let me put you on hold here. All right. Blake, what's your guess?
I'm going to go 401.
401. All right, put you on hold here. All right, Mark. These are the guesses. 287, 301, and 401. How many completions do you think Tom Brady has?
250. Tom Dowers, greatest Chiefs podcast in the world.
put you on hold here. All right. Rob, do you got our music?
You're not going to let Nate guess? It's like weekly. Yeah, you never let Nate guess.
No, I'm not going to be on this one.
I forgot.
Every week. All right, Rob, you got the music?
I am like 50% in asking you guys if yes, you want to guess. Yeah, yeah. I am 50%.
Completions, not attempts.
Completions. He has the most attempts, too. he has the most attempts. So How many completed passes does Tom Brady have in the Super Bowl in his 10 appearances?
303.
Where you at, Rob?
221.
221. The correct answer. With 421 pass attempts, 277 completions for Tom Brady. That means Mark is the winner with 250. Congratulations, dang. Mark is the winner of the final edition of the Nate Taylor Price is Right game for this season. We'll have to play next year. But, yeah, this is the final edition of Nate Taylor Price is Right, man. Congratulations to Mark, the winner of the pizza. Before we get back to the Chiefs, do you believe that Tom Brady is done? Do you think Tom Brady will unretire again?
He's done. He's got to be
you
done.
You don't know.
I love the way you answered that. I love Marcus Spears. I was wondering if somebody was going to say it on ESPN. It took like 2 days after their loss to the Cowboys in the wild card round, but it was apparent he didn't want to get hit anymore. And Marcus Spears said that, and I wholeheartedly agreed at the time when I watched the game. I think we texted, and we were like, man, it's supposed to be the best game this week. This is just terrible. Yeah, it's time. I appreciate the way he informed all of us this week. Hey, man, nothing better than being on the beach, you know, telling everybody, hey, you know, I had my big thing last year. He is a wiser man now because he retired and unretired. It didn't work out. So don't do it again, Tom. Like, you know, as some people have said, you know, 28 now, J.J. Watt and the Tom Brady.
That's going to be an impressive draft. That's going to be an impressive Hall of
Fame. Oh, fame, yeah. So, I mean, just.
I can't wait for the Patriots-Texans to play in the Hall of Fame game. That's going to be awesome, too. That's going to be an awesome Hall of Fame game.
So, yeah. I mean,
like, you know, it always rains the day of the Hall of Fame game. Yep. They only get to play three quarters because the field is messed up. It's going to be great, man. We can already lock that in.
So don't mess this up, Tom. Like, it's cool. Him retiring did make me watch the first episode of Man in the Arena. I think it's probably the best episode out of the how many episodes is it?
10? 10, I think. Yeah,
it's 10. You know, so I watched the first one again. This was the second time I watched it, and I was just thinking about like it is one of the most incredible stories in NFL history. How he went from he all right at Michigan to Drew Bledsoe, and I tell everybody like think of it this way. Think about Patrick Mahomes getting his $500 million contract or nearly $500 million contract over a 10-year period. Then him getting hurt literally the second game after signing the contract. Then the greatest winning quarterback of all time replaces him in that game, leads the team to a Super Bowl, then wins five more Super Bowls for that franchise. They gave Drew Bledsoe the most money in NFL history. And Bill Belichick was like, nah, we just going to ride this out with Tom. I mean, I highly recommend the first episode of Man in the Arena because it has been 20 however many years now. It's really hard to remember all the little details that got him to his place. And then obviously the game-winning drive in the Super Bowl. It was like, okay, I want to relive this again. That was really cool. You know, Tom Brady – obviously a just ultimate winner guy. And, you know, Drew Bledsoe went from being, again, the highest paid, I led my team to a Super Bowl, to like, yeah, man, you got to find a new job. It's stunning. So I'm happy that he made the right choice. It, like, you know, obviously making things even more convoluted for, like, you know, Trey Lance or obviously Brock Purdy. I didn't want to see him play for the Raiders. Did you want to see him play for the Raiders? They were going to win like 7 games or whatever Derek Carr did this year. Like, I don't know if there would have been that much of a difference because their roster is not good. So he made the right decision. I'm going to just leave it at that. I'm happy he made the right decision. And now, hey, guess what? You got out, at least for right now, without having any aches and pains. Like, playing the most football any of them have played. That's amazing.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Nate Taylor. He is brought to you by Comfort Systems Heating and Cooling, family-owned, family-operated, mycomfortsystems.com. Speaking of great quarterbacks, I want to get your opinion about Patrick Mahomes. I thought Sunday was the best that we've ever seen him. When you just factor in everything, you factor in the ankle injury, you factor in what we had heard about Travis Kelce, and then Kelce does the podcast and talks about how much pain he was in.
Yeah.
You then mention the wide receiver injuries that happened over the course of the day. So you lose 3 of your top wide receivers. I know it wasn't his best day if you're just looking at the stats and the numbers, but if you're talking about impact on the game and being able to overcome adversity, I thought the AFC Championship game was the best we've ever seen Patrick Mahomes.
Given the circumstances, that's definitely an argument that you can make. I know I've said it multiple times this season. Go back and rewatch the fourth quarter of that first Super Bowl, because my goodness, he never made a mistake against one of the best defenses of the modern era, who will never be remembered because they didn't win that game. So when you add the circumstances and the height and the fact, like you said before, like the villain that they had to vanquish in the Bengals, I mean, it's Carrington. I could, like, in my press box seat on Sunday, I was like, 3rd and 4, if it's not there, I get it. Like, they got Marcus Kemp running. We gotta have it routes. They know you passing the ball, right? Because it's 3rd and 4. You're in the middle of the field. You're trying to get 10 to 15 yards, trying to get Harrison Butker a chance. Like, everybody knows you passing the ball. So that gives already the pass rushers an advantage. And when he starts to sprint, I was just like, I can't believe he's doing this. And then he gets 5 yards when they needed 4. As Next Gen Stats has put out, that was the fastest he had ran in the entire game. Like, that was him leaving it all out. So when you put everything into context, to get his team back to the Super Bowl, playing under immense, difficult, you know, settings, I think the best play in his career is the run against Tennessee. I think the best quarter of football he's played is the fourth quarter against, and that starts with an interception, which is also just wild. It's like, hey, we threw an interception near the red zone, and then I didn't make a mistake on 3 straight drives, and we scored 3 straight touchdowns. And I basically orchestrated one of the greatest, like, comeback victories in Super Bowl history. So that's the best quarter I think he's played in postseason football. But in terms of the entire game from start to finish, you have a strong case to say that, and I can't disagree with you, because I didn't think they were going to win, Carrington. I did not pick them to win because their best player was dealing with a legitimate injury, and then he didn't turn the ball over, he made one mistake because he was trying to get a pass out of his hands quick to MVS, who was going to get a lot of yards because the Bengals were blitzing on that play. So he makes only one mistake. He, you know, the offensive line protects him. The receivers are down, and when they had to have him be a hero, he somehow found a way to be a hero. So, yeah, I can't disagree with you when you think about everything that he's done over the last 5 years. He's had amazing highlights. He's had remarkable stretches. If he leads this team to a Super Bowl, you know, 2 Sundays from now, it's more impressive than what he did in 2019. I mean, that's coming back from a dislocated kneecap and an ankle injury to start the season and a hand injury against in December against the New England Patriots. I think people forget about that. He had to, like, sort of manage his hand for like 2 or 3 weeks in terms before they obviously got the postseason run. He was fully healthy that postseason. He is not fully healthy. If he leads this team with a bunch of rookies to the Super Bowl, it will be his greatest achievement yet.
We threw this question out there, and I'd be curious to get your answer to it. How many quarterbacks all time would you definitively put ahead of Mahomes right now? So we asked this question yesterday. Some people said Dan Marino, and I'm thinking, well, the only thing I think Dan
he
has over
he can't run. Dan Marino cannot run, guys. He is a statue.
And I think he just has longevity. Like, he doesn't have more accolades than Patrick Mahomes at this point. Some people argue Drew Brees, and I'm thinking the exact same thing. Like, Brees just played longer, but Brees never won MVP, only went to the one Super Bowl. And in what world would I take the 5'11 quarterback over the 6'5 quarterback? I think it's only four guys you could say. At this point, if 5 years into Mahomes, I think it's only four quarterbacks. Brady, Manning, Elway, Montana.
I would take him over Peyton Manning.
I don't know if I can do that today. I'm not saying he wouldn't be able to pass Peyton down the line.
I will take him over Peyton Manning.
I don't know if I can do that just yet. I don't know if I can do it yet.
Look, man.
Peyton was different. All these guys were
incredible.
But you want to talk about a guy, so like Brady.
Yes.
I think like if you're trying to explain to your son in 5 years how good Brady was, I don't know if he's going to be able to like understand it fully because he just like wasn't there to see these drives and – you know, there'd be that one 325 game against the Steelers that Brady would take him 87 yards. And you're like, that's the greatest quarterback I've ever seen. I think your son's going to get it with Peyton. I think your son's going to get it with Patrick Mahomes and how great he was. Yeah. So that's why I'm saying with Peyton, I don't know if I can put Mahomes ahead of him all time yet. But I do think by the end of Mahomes' career, by the end of his story, I think he'll be ahead of Peyton Manning.
I think right now I would take Patrick Mahomes over any time Peyton Manning played. And again, that is astounding to say. Who's got the stronger arm?
Mahomes.
Who can do more with their legs?
Patrick Mahomes.
Who takes less sacks?
Mahomes.
And here's the crazy thing. I don't think they're different from a mental capacity standpoint. One of the best reasons that Peyton Manning is a legend is because he was the first quarterback really since the like early like 60s, 70s when like Frank Tarkenton used to call the plays. One of the best things about Peyton Manning is like, oh, y'all win that coverage? Cool. let me put my hands together and get to work. Now, sometimes he would guess wrong, and, you know, it was crazy. The only team that would really ever challenge him mentally was the Patriots, you know, and it just so happens that, like, oh, they got one of the better quarterbacks too. Like, dang. So it took him a while to, like, overcome that hurdle. But one of the best things about Peyton Manning is he knew what his arm could do, and then he would just sort of – his brain would get to work. And it was a masterclass. But look, man, Mahomes gets blitzed, and it's just like it doesn't matter. Now he can do things physically than, you know, John Elway or Peyton Manning could really not do. But I just think mentally, like, he sees the field so well. It's one of the things that, like, I remember Andy Reid trying to convey – in one of my first conversations about, like, okay, really, what is different about Mahomes? And it's just like, I don't know how he does it, but he can throw across the field because he can see across the field. The reason we tell quarterbacks don't ever do it is, yeah, of course you can't see that secondary, that defender on the other side of the field. Like, what? Like, that's why we teach you not to throw across your body because, like, dude, like, the defenders have a better view than you do of where the receiver is. Not with Mahomes. Like, it's nuts what he can do, and I just think the Arizona Cardinals, I just want to remind people, the Arizona Cardinals blitzed the Chiefs the most this season. Season opening game, Vance Joseph was like, well, if he gets time, he's going to kill us anyway. So why don't we just light him up? You know, let's see if he's got the real connection with Juju and MVS and Sky Moore and Justin Watson and, like, all these new receivers. Obviously, he still has Kelsey. They blitzed him the entire game. And not once did they really succeed from it. He threw five touchdowns. And at least, I think he only had six completions in the game. Like, it was just like, so what are we supposed to do now? Like, I just think he presents so many problems because mentally he's starting to figure out what defenses can do. And he has a way to sort of counteract it. And when he lets the ball go, I don't think I've seen a quarterback who can do it with that much accuracy, that much tempo, pace. To understand that, like, oh, I'm on a hobbled ankle, and okay, they're doubling Kelsey, cool. They're even doubling Sky Moore. There's MVS and zip, and it's just like, I don't know, man. I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment, but I also understand too that, like, from a skill set and from a mental capacity, I would take Patrick Mahomes over Tom Brady, or Peyton Manning, and that's hard to say, but. Carrington, he might win his second Super Bowl in his fifth season, and Peyton Manning did not do that. He also didn't go to five straight conference championship games, even with the Patriots. Obviously,
I mean, he has as many as Peyton Manning had his entire career already. He has five, and Peyton Manning got to five.
He had Reggie Wade and Dallas Clark and Brandon Stokely and obviously Marvin Harrison. He's had Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, but, like, this is his greatest season because it's like, take whoever. Who are my five skill position players? I'm going to make it work. Was Clyde on the team in September? Yeah. Was Pacheco the guy in November? Sure. Is now McKinnon the guy? All right, cool. Like, I'll just make it work with whoever. Like, we're going to pick up these blitzes. We're going to get these chunk yards. We're going to operate really well in the red zone. We're going to be creative. Like, coach is going to give me a chance on fourth down. So now I get four downs to get 10 yards. Like, that gives us even greater advantage. I mean, he's – the only reason I thought they were going to lose Carrington was because he wasn't going to be able to do everything he did. And then he was excellent out of the pocket on a high ankle sprain. Like, how am I supposed to, like – I just want people to, like, understand that, like, it's okay to marvel at what you're seeing. Like, it's okay for Joe Burrow to be a really, really good quarterback. And he's not as talented. He got fooled. There was nothing that Cincinnati really did in the game that fooled Patrick Mahomes. And that's really impressive because they fooled Josh Allen on a couple times in the previous round. So I don't know what Philly's going to do other than, like, hey, hope they get there with the rush and obviously having 70 sacks in the regular season. But I don't know. I don't know what you can do if he's fully healthy, has enough weapons, and obviously the protection is pretty good. Like, Tom Brady, I love Joe Montana. Love Joe Montana because he perfected the West Coast offense from what a quarterback could do. Outside of them two dudes, I don't know who's on comparison to what Patrick Mahomes is capable of 5 years in as a starter.
I'll get you out of here with this name. We appreciate your time. I've done a handful of interviews. You've probably done a handful of interviews at this point. I think the sentiment outside of Kansas City is that Philadelphia is the better team, that they just have more talent than the Chiefs have.
they might be right, yeah, but I don't know.
I think this game is going to be close.
Yeah.
It's hard for me in a game that I think is going to come down to the final 8 minutes to take Jalen Hurts over Patrick Mahomes. Like,
we haven't seen it. He hasn't been forced to do it. I don't know, Carrington.
And it just, after the win against Cincinnati, it just feels like one of those years that everybody's going to have to give it up to Patrick Mahomes. Hey, man, I was wrong. You that guy. Like, for the people that potentially question whether or not he was that guy, it just feels like this is the season. Like, you overcame, I would say, your biggest foe in the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yep.
I think you could say that this is the best team that he's also went up against two in Philadelphia from a complete roster standpoint.
Yeah.
From 1-53, you could make the case that this is the best team that they've played in the 5 years since Mahomes has been the quarterback of the team.
Yeah, Tampa Bay got it really going in the second half of their championship season. So they're comparable to Cincinnati is better than they were last year. I've tried to make that point a few times. Look, man, the greatest achievement in Josh Allen's career was being perfect in two playoff games in the 2021 postseason. In the divisional round, Patrick Mahomes went 33-44 for 378 yards, no turnovers, three touchdowns, seven rushing attempts for 69 yards, one touchdown. He had a passer rating of 123. It is one of the greatest games that has ever been played from an offensive standpoint. I don't think it was very good defense by either team. But he led them down the field in 13 seconds. He led them down the field, or he led them into field goal range with a right high ankle sprain. Look, I will give Jalen Hurts all the credit, but I have not seen it. He has not been forced to show it. You have to trust Mahomes with even more time, with that ankle getting even more treatment, that, yeah, the Eagles might be the better team, but they don't have the better quarterback. And the last time you could say that about a Super Bowl with the Chiefs, they won it because they had the better quarterback. Now, the second round, that's really marginal because Tom Brady is obviously excellent and he had an offensive line. Patrick Mahomes is excellent, didn't have an offensive line. And I think people forget that the Chiefs just dropped. They had like four or five drops in that game that were just like kind of astounding compared to what they were the course of the season. Carrington, I got 4 years of playoff stats that are just outside of the one Cincinnati game in the AFC Championship game last year, like, I've seen it. So I should trust it. I should trust that Mahomes will do what he is capable of to lead them to victory. And if Jalen Hurts can match him, you know, drive for drive or moment for moment, then, you know, obviously give him credit. But I think it's fair to say that, like, the team you can trust the most is the Super Bowl winning head coach and the Super Bowl winning quarterback with a roster that is getting better as the season goes along because all these young players have just continued to ascend across the season. So if he has weapons, if he has Travis Kelce, if he has a pretty good offensive line, like, you'd be a fool to pick against him at this point.
That is our guy, Nate Taylor, joining us in studio. He is brought to you by Comfort Systems Heating and Cooling, family-owned, family-operated, MyComfortSystems.com. Nate, enjoy Phoenix, my man.
Can't wait. Fly Monday morning, 70 degrees. I will tell you all about it.
Well, bring some of that warm weather back with you because you know it's going to be cold here next week. You already know how it is. Coming up on the other side, there is a trend that continues to pop up in the Super Bowl. We'll share it with you. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.